Tonight, let's head to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I woke up Monday morning, no direction from the Lord on a message for tonight. Woke up Tuesday morning, all day, no direction from the Lord for a message. Woke up this morning. It's getting tight, Brother Dave. No direction. Read my Bible. Usually through my Bible reading, Lord put something on my heart, and He didn't. And so Valerie and I are sitting on the couch, just getting the day started, waiting for the girls to wake up. And Lord said, "Said, why don't you just bring a message on what you've been living the last few days?" I thought, yeah, okay, that'll work. And so Proverbs chapter 3 tonight, these are going to be super familiar verses for anybody that's been in church any length of time. We're going to look at verses 5, 6, and 7. Let's go ahead and read them, and I'll pray once again. I'll dive into everything. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." So let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, we love You. Thank You for a beautiful day. Lord, the weather's so nice. It's so good to see the seasons changing. Lord, it's so good to have the prospect through a busy day of being able to come apart from the world and gather together as a church family and look into Your Word and sing praises to You. Refresh our minds, refresh our hearts, refresh our souls. And get us refocused, Lord, on the thing that really matters. And Lord, there's so much static in this world. There's so much that's drawing and trying to pull at our heart and draw us away from You. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that You'll help our church through these simple verses that many of us could quote by heart. Lord, probably many have these up in their homes or elsewhere noted in their life. And it's easy to forget them sometimes. But Lord, we're grateful for the Holy Spirit of God that leads us and guides us into all truth. And so pray You'd help our church family tonight. Lord, I trust somebody get some help from this and that You would help us, Lord, to acknowledge You in all of our ways. Lord, we certainly do want You to direct our paths. It may not always be the answer that we like, but we sure appreciate You being mindful of us and caring for us. And so we pray You'll help tonight and help our hearts. Help us to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, like I said, these are popular, well-known verses. I'm sure everybody here could quote it. Valerie and I, when we got married, it's after 16 years, it's gotten a little bit dull in there. But anyway, inscribed on the inside of our wedding bands are those verses, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. And we had that as one of our theme verses when we got married, and it's proven itself true over 16 years of marriage. Trying to do that math real quick. And it's not just, you know, these verses are good for everyday life because it does say in all thy ways, not just in some of your ways or a handful of ways, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And they're foundational verses. I titled this tonight, if you're taking notes and want to do that, Standing on a Promise. When we sing Standing on the Promises, somebody generally quotes Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And they're great verses to stand on. They're great verses for life verses. They're some of my life verses. But what I find in my life is I tend to go through the days and the weeks and the months and the years and things come up and decisions come up and situations occur. And it's just human nature, I think, to try to go ahead and figure it out. And want to make a decision, and yet God's sitting in heaven saying, "But what about Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7? And one of the hardest things I've told you in my pastorate here to do in this life is to wait on God. And you know why we don't acknowledge Him in all of our ways? You know why we don't wait on an answer from God? Is because we don't want to wait. We just want to go ahead and make a decision. And so our life the last couple of weeks, we've had a big decision that we thought we were going to make. And, well, we did make a big decision. And God really helped with it. And it wasn't without prayer and it wasn't without seeking His face. And it did not go the way I thought it was going to go. I thought I had a green light. Y'all ever think you got a green light? And then all of a sudden it went to yellow, which means slow down, or unless you're really close to the intersection, it's speed up, right? But with God, a yellow light means slow down. Let's think about this. And then this morning I got up and the light was red. And that wasn't what I expected. But I've learned in my life that it is wiser to do what God wants you to do than what you want to do sometimes. And the process, the exercise of just taking a step back and saying, okay, Lord, I'm supposed to make a decision in this time frame. And it's probably good, Lord, if I make a decision in this time frame. But Lord, I want your help to make the right decision. And I believe the Lord gets great pleasure out of that. And so these verses tonight are not just you know, fun to quote, and they're not just nice to put on the wall and buy them at Hobby Lobby and all, you know, all that kind of stuff. These are really serious life verses. And so the Bible says there in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, someone that you trust in, you're willing to listen to what they have to say. Right? I mean, kids go to their parents for advice because they trust what mom and dad have to say. Church members come to the pastor because they trust what the pastor has to say. We can all go to God because we can all trust in what God has to say. And so this thing of trusting in the Lord with all of thine heart is a simple principle. Oh, it's so simple. But when we don't acknowledge God in all of our ways, then we don't trust Him with all of our heart. We end up trusting ourselves. Or we might do what the Bible says, and the Bible says that there's safety in the multitude of counselors, right? Remember that? There's safety in the multitude of counselors. We'll go talk to people, and they'll tell us to do what we want to do. And we like those people. The people we don't want to go talk to are the ones that we know they're probably going to say, you shouldn't do that. Or maybe they just offer that advice unsolicited, and that really doesn't rub things the right way. But I've also learned in 43 years that you ought to consider all aspects and all sides of a decision that you can. I said a couple of weeks ago, you ought to pray about decisions in life, and you ought to ask God for direction. And sometimes you'll make a decision and you think you know how it's going to work out, and it doesn't work out that way. And that sort of gets you on your heels and sort of knocks you off your feet a little bit. But God's still good. He'll still guide us and direct us. It's just wiser to consult Him on the front end than it is to run to Him on the back end and say, God, I really messed up. I mean, David told God, can I pair? David told God, I really messed up with Bathsheba. I've just been reading all through that in 2 Samuel, my daily Bible reading. The last couple of weeks, and you know, David's life was so smooth until that day. Amen. And that day, even though the payment for that sin and the reaping of those seeds didn't come until 9, 10, 11 months later, David's life up to that point was pretty easy. Now I'm talking about as a king, okay? As a king. I really need to paraphrase that. After he took the throne, from that day until the day he committed adultery with Bathsheba, everything was going really smooth. And from that day to the rest of his life, you've got Amnon doing what he did to Tamar. You've got Absalom killing Amnon. You got Absalom trying to take over the kingdom. They're out there running for their life again. You got these guys cussing him on. I mean, just total chaos. And, you know, I imagine if David had seen Bathsheba and turned his back and, you know, walked back into the room and said, Lord, what do you think about that? God would have said, let's not go any further. But nonetheless, it's better to consult God on the front end than it is to have to come to God on the back end. Now, I'm glad God's gracious and merciful, because I've gotten ahead of Him and made decisions I shouldn't have made before, and have to come to God with your tail tucked between your legs. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Would you please forgive me? And He's gracious and He's merciful, but He doesn't always take away the consequences. And so decisions, especially monumental decisions in life just should be met with consulting God on the front end and trusting in Him with all of our heart and acknowledging Him in all of our ways. And we'll talk about the two things He tells us to be careful of tonight in those verses. But it's just better. Life's just better if you'll get with God on the front end of decisions. You know, life is full of decisions, and God's given us a mind. Praise the Lord for that. He's given us an ability to reason, something that a lot of other creation doesn't have. And God, even though He's a sovereign God, He's given man the freedom to make every choice that we make. And He'll let you and I make good choices, and He'll let you and I make bad choices. Some folks make decisions and just hope for the best. You could ask them on the front end, how do you think that's going to turn out? I said, I don't know, I don't care, I just want to do it. And here they go, and it doesn't turn out the way they wanted it to turn out. And then they struggle dealing with the consequences, if I can read my writing tonight. Other people will scrutinize a decision. They'll analyze a decision. They'll turn it upside down. They'll look at it from the east, west, north, south, southwest, northwest, north, northeast. And then they struggle to commit to it. And I think both of those are ditches that God doesn't want any of us in. He doesn't want us in the ditch of just making decisions and not consulting Him and trying to deal with the consequences. And then He doesn't want us over here, you know, fasting and praying about, do I eat McDonald's or Hardee's for lunch tomorrow? And so God in His wisdom and grace gave us these guidelines in Proverbs 3. And the entire book of Proverbs is just good advice for life. And man, there's just so much wisdom in that book. And the word proverb means to make comparison. It means to set two things side by side. And we're going to do that tonight. You could outline Proverbs a number of ways. I liked this one. It was very simple. Chapter 10 through 31 is godliness and wisdom contrasted with wickedness and foolishness. I think that's pretty good. You start in chapter 10, the Proverbs of Solomon, and it's all these comparisons down through there and opposites and setting things side by side to learn wisdom and understanding and knowledge by observing them. And then chapters 1 through 9 is just an appeal to my son. And we could say it's directed at the youth, but I mean, okay, so maybe it is, but it's good for everybody. No matter how old you are, the Bible's good for everybody. And so you start out there in chapter 1, you know, you look at verse 8, my son. And then you come on down through there, verse 15, my son. And you get over to chapter 2, verse 1, my son. Chapter 3, verse 1, my son. Chapter 4, hear ye children. It's just all the way down through there, a father trying to instruct his children. And I hope that some of you got to listen to Brother Ron Ralph's message today and this week, him preaching to some of the young men in his church. And it's just a blessing to hear some of those things. But the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, we could say, are an appeal to the youth, although it's good and applicable for everybody. But I did want to say this tonight to our young people, that if you all can learn how to trust in the Lord with all your heart before you hit the age of, how old are you? 22. Got to get Chloe into young people, right? The earlier, let's say it this way, the earlier in life that you can learn to trust in the Lord with all your heart, the better off you're going to be. The earlier in life that you can not learn how to acknowledge Him in all of your ways, the better off your life's going to be. And the sooner that you and I, all of us in here, realize that we don't have all the answers, God has all the answers. That we lack wisdom sometimes, but God is all wise. That we don't have all of the understanding that we need to have, but God has it all. The moment that we get to that point and we'll acknowledge Him in all of our ways and say, Lord, this is what I think. Lord, this is how I feel. This is the decision I think I ought to make. But God, I mean, I don't know anything like I ought to know something. And Lord, if there's something that's out there that I'm missing, would You reveal it to me? And can I tell you in my life, the thing that God brings me down to, the point He brings me down to every single time when I get in the decision-making process like that, is inevitably He will ask me the question, what's in your heart? Why are you making this decision? And I so appreciate the Lord and the Holy Ghost just teaching me over the years, and you got to learn to be honest with yourself. Because the answer of, well, I just want it, isn't good enough. And man, I'm telling you what, we are masters at rationalizing decisions, are we not? I mean, we'll come up, we'll figure it out. We might stay up all night, but we'll figure out a reason to do it. We'll figure out a reason to buy it. We'll figure out a reason to get rid of it. You know, and we're masters at it, and we're really good at justifying our own thoughts. And most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And it's just the Lord brings me to those positions, and I'll talk to God. I'll say, God, all right, here's the justification. Here's why I need to do this. Or Lord, here's why I don't need to do this. And I'll lay it out to Him. And I'll put all the cards on the table. I'll say, all right, Lord, there's my reasoning. There's my understanding, Lord. Help me. Lord, I want You to direct my paths, because I know when God's directing my paths, I'm going to be a whole lot better off than if Nathan's directing his paths. Amen. And same is true in your life. And so I'll lay it all out to God, and I'll say, okay, what do you think? And it might, sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it's an hour or two later. Sometimes something changes in the parameters of that decision. And the Lord makes up your mind for you. But sometimes it comes right down to the 11th hour. And you're starting to get nervous like Saul was. Samuel hadn't showed up yet. And the worst thing you can do is force yourself and make a bad decision. Just wait on God. And if that time to make that decision comes and somebody's burning down your throat, you got to make a decision, I got to know right now, and God hadn't said, then you just say, look, I can't tell you right now. And if you miss out, you miss out. Maybe that's what God wants you to do. And so this appeal to my son in the first 9 chapters, and especially to the youth, we pray for our young people in this church that they learn how to do this. They learn how to acknowledge God, and they learn how to sense and to see God directing their paths in their life. They do that at a young age, and I hope everybody in the church knows how to do that. I hope everybody's been through that process with God to where you know God's leading me, or you know my heart is leading me. Because those two things don't always go in the same direction. And so two things that the Lord tells us to be wary of when we're making big, especially big decisions in life. Two things. Number one, He says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not, here's the thing to be wary of, thine own understanding. Now, when you've got a decision to make, especially a big decision, you ought to analyze that thing. You ought to scrutinize that thing. You ought to look at it every which way from Sunday. But in the end of it all, it comes down to acknowledging God and saying, Lord, I need Your help in this decision. Or God, I want Your direction in this decision. You'll know the verses, but come on with me. Hold your place there in Proverbs. Come over to Isaiah 55. We have to remember this, church. We've got to remember this. Isaiah chapter 55. If you look with me in verse 6, Isaiah 55, 6, again, familiar verses. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Boy, I'm glad He is. Let the wicked forsake his way. That sounds a lot like Proverbs 3, 7. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Thank the Lord for that. Here's what God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you believe that? I fully believe that tonight. And while I can rationalize and I can justify and I can come up with reasons for or against the decision that I have to make in life, God's the one who's all wise. God's the one who has all the understanding. God's the one that can see the beginning from the end, right? We talk about all those things and then we don't always acknowledge Him. And so to understand that the way God thinks is higher than our thinking and the way that God understands is deeper and better than what we understand. And you know, at 43 years old, I used to get mad about it. I don't anymore. But people still call me a young pastor. And I think, man, I've been in this thing for 13 years. Like, when do I get to be an old pastor? And I understand I don't have all the answers. Have mercy, I don't have all the answers. But God sure does. And He can teach us through His Word, and He can teach us through circumstances. And all He's looking for is for some people, and I'll go ahead and get into this, that in humility will look to Him and say, Lord, I've got my reasons, I've got my decision, I this is the way I think I ought to go, Lord. But before I do, Lord, what do You think about this? And I think God is our Heavenly Father because, again, right, we always say, well, Solomon wrote Proverbs, and probably he did, and that's fine. There's no problem with that. But just like we said the other day, this is God's Word. And you and I are children of God, and for God to sit in heaven and say, my son, amen, hear my children, amen, right? He's talking to all of us. And just I can imagine. Now, parents think, and grandparents especially, I know y'all really get a kick out of this. When the grandkids come to you, Pops, can you, and it doesn't matter what they ask, you're going to do it. Well, maybe within the law, legally, right? And my girls come to me, Daddy, can you help me with this? I mean, I'll drop everything I'm doing to help them. Because you just, that's what a parent's joy, it's a grandparent's joy. To help their children and grandchildren. Well, how much would it be God's joy for one of His children to come to Him in time of a crisis or big decision and say, Lord, you know, this is what I think, Lord, but I mean, You're my Heavenly Father. What do You think about it? Or God, can You help me with this? And He'd drop everything He's doing and help you. What do you think about what God's doing? That's a lot to drop, ain't it? He wouldn't drop it. We're upheld by the power of His hands anyway. You understand the illustration. So again, we want to, when decisions need to be made, and again, this isn't, I don't think necessarily God wants you to pray and ask Him where you ought to go eat lunch. But all of our lives are filled with big enough decisions on a pretty regular basis that we can exercise these verses. And so it requires humility to come to God and not lean to your own understanding, but trust in Him and to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. That word acknowledge, where is it down here? That word acknowledge means to regard Him. It just means to acknowledge, to regard that God ought to have a say in the decision. Man, I feel like that's just so profoundly simple, and yet we miss it so many times. And so it takes humility, and you'll remember the book of James tells us that God resists the proud, but He gives what to the humble? He gives grace to the humble. He lifts up those that are humble and come to Him in humility with a contrite heart, and God accepts that, and that pleases Him. But those that are in pride, or those that make decisions in pride, He resists. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. And so if we make decisions in pride and we just, you know, go right on and say, well, you know, I pretty much got it figured out, Lord, don't need Your help today. Thanks a lot. Anyway, God sits back and says, all right, not going to stop you. When it goes sideways, I mean, I'll be here, but I may not be able to take away the situation. May not be able to take away the circumstances. May not be able to take away the consequences. That word, it'll get there, won't it? So number one, we want to be careful that we don't lean to our own understanding in these decisions. And number two, it says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. This goes right along with that humility that we just talked about. Thinking that we don't need God's help is absolute foolishness. Thinking that we've got all the answers is just absolute foolishness. Thinking that I can handle this and, you know, maybe even taking a position where I don't care what God thinks, or I don't want to hear God tell me no. I'm going to do it anyway. It's dangerous ground. And that's being wise in our own eyes. Refusing to acknowledge, to regard God is a source of pride. Some of the decisions I've made, have had to make in life, let me put it this way, let me rephrase that. Some of the decisions that I've sought God's input on in life, some of them I wanted to do, and God directed me, go ahead. And man, that's great. Some of the decisions I wanted to do, and God threw up the red light like he did this morning and said, I wouldn't do that. That's not wise. Or maybe he phrased it to me this way, you can do that, but you're not going to like the consequences. And then there's some decisions in life that I want to hear God say no to, and he says, I don't see any problem with that. And it's all about this acknowledging him and not being wise in our own eyes and not leaning to our own understanding, but just allowing God to direct us through his word and through prayer. And you're familiar with the verse over in Proverbs chapter 16. Let's flip over there with me, Proverbs 16. Some of you need to turn anyway before you fall asleep. Amen. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Familiar verse. Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And it goes on to say, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly. And then verse 20, look what God says. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I can honestly say, looking back in my life, that the decisions that I stopped long enough to let God direct them, and I can look back with a clear conscience and say, glory, hallelujah, I'm glad I listened to God. And the decisions that I just blew on through the stop signs and didn't bother to acknowledge God and didn't ask his counsel on them, I can look back at those and say, man, I probably should have listened to God. I mean, he's blessed my life tremendously, and he's been very gracious with me in some really poor decisions that I've made. I don't want to get in the habit of making those decisions and counting on God's mercy and grace. And so pride goeth before destruction. Be not wise in thine own eyes, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You ever watch your kids and grandkids when they're growing up and they're playing, and you watch them and they're starting to get a little bit brave. And you watch them and you watch them, and finally the parenting, grandparenting thing kicks in. You say, hey, be careful. You might get hurt. Sometimes they acknowledge you, right? Regard that you even said something to them. Sometimes they just go right on. And you think, well, maybe by osmosis it got in there. And a few minutes later, they're getting a little more brave. Hey, don't do that anymore. You're going to get hurt. That's okay. I've been doing it for 10 minutes. And inevitably, a few minutes later, here's the crash, here's the scream, here's the wail, perhaps an emergency room visit. What is that? It's a haughty spirit. Not going to listen to, thanks for the warning, but I got this. And I think many times God sends warnings into our life, and we just look at them and say, thanks, Lord, but I'm taking care of this. Lean not to thine own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Come with me to James chapter 1. Hold your place in Proverbs 3. We'll be back. James chapter 1. Again, I don't know that I do a whole lot of preaching of stuff you haven't heard before. And that's probably a good thing, but James chapter 1, verse 5. Well, have mercy. How could we do that? Let's come back to verse 3. Come back to verse 2. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh what? All right? So we started off tonight, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's faith, yes? And what faith does is it teaches us patience. And we want to make a decision, but we make the conscious effort to pull back and ask God, and say, Lord, I trust you with what you're going to tell me is right for this situation. It has to patience if you're going to wait for God. And he goes on to say, but let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It sounds like there might be some contentment that comes along with patience. It sounds like that when we're patient and we learn that lesson of patience, that all of a sudden, maybe it's a thing we thought we had to buy, all of a sudden we don't need it anymore. Or we can do without it. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, well, I mean, that takes some humility to admit that. God, I'm not as wise as I need to be on this situation. Lord, I need your help. That takes some humility. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, not ChatGPT. Commercial time. I got a call the other day from a contractor, and he said, I need your help. I said, okay. And he sends me this picture of this beautiful rendering of an outdoor terrace, dining terrace in space. And I wrote him back, and I said, what do you need me for? He said, that was produced by ChatGPT. I said, oh, I know why you need me. And so I go to the meeting and walk up to the guy that's heading up the project, and he's got this thing in his hand. And I said, listen, I said, we just need to throw that in the trash. And he said, I know. He said, this AI generated, this is what the client wants. I said, I know. I said, that's fine. It's AI. I said, I'm going to give you a different kind of AI. I said, I'm going to give you actual intelligence. You're free to trademark that and use it as you'd like to. isn't it scary? People ask their phone, how do I change the oil on 1999 Ford F-250? Come on. Anyway, surely we wouldn't be asking spiritual questions into that thing. That would not be wise. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God's the source of all wisdom, that giveth to all men liberally. Did you just read that? God said if you needed wisdom and asked him for it, he'd give you more than you needed. And that's a good deal. Liberally, and upbraideth not. And he's not going to sit there and say, you stupid idiot, why don't you know that? No, he's going to say, thanks for asking. Here's what you need to do. Amen. Here's what you need to consider. Here's what I think would be wise for you. Young man, young woman, old man, old woman. And it should be given him. Let him ask in faith. Verse 6, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now look at verse 8. A double-minded man is what? Oh, I don't know if I ought to. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I go there? Should I not go there? Should I buy this? Should I not buy this? Should I say it? Should I not say it? Right? You understand? And that indecision, that's that second person that scrutinizes and analyzes and worries and frets over the decision. They never commit to it. They're unstable. They're back and forth all the time. And God said, I don't want you to live like that. He said, that's instability. You're going to get in trouble. He said, just ask me for wisdom and I'll give it to you liberally. He said, I won't even scold you for it. I'll just give it to you and be happy to give it to you. Well, that's a great God. But here's the thing with God. You can go back to Proverbs 3. The thing about my God is this. He's all wise. He's got all the understanding. He's got all the answers. And he'll give us the wisdom. He'll give us the understanding. He'll give us the knowledge. He'll give us the answers. If we want them. And if we don't want them, he's under no obligation to give it out. If we don't come to him in faith and humility and say, God, I can't, but you can. Lord, help me. If we don't do that, he's under no obligation to insert himself into our life. And I mean, some people get this crazy idea. Well, if God didn't want me to do it, he'd stop me. Where is that thinking? That has to come from AI. ChatGPT, I better put it that way. But no, it's just decisions in life, many decisions in life are a one-time shot. Get one chance. And so God will give wisdom if we want it, if we'll ask for it, if we will simply acknowledge Him. All right, so now we're back in Proverbs 3. There were two things to be wary of, to beware of. I could say it that way, I guess. Our own understanding and being wise in our own eyes. And then if we will acknowledge God in all of our ways and we will trust in the Lord with all of our heart, then it results in two great benefits. Number one is in verse 7. The Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. I guarantee you, if you're tempted to commit a sin and you stop and say, God, do you want me to do that? I can go ahead and tell you the answer. The answer is no. And if we would just acknowledge God in all of our ways, we'd probably stop sinning by half. At least the sins of commission, right? There might be some sins of omission that we're just sort of ignorant about and God has to open our eyes to it. But, I mean, seriously, church, the Bible says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that's a great benefit of being not wise in your own eyes and acknowledging God in all your ways. So it helps us to avoid sin. But here's the other thing. It also helps us to avoid evil consequences that come from making bad decisions. So it helps us depart from evil. And then number two, and we'll be done tonight. It says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm telling you, that's a great benefit. Come with me to Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37 tonight, verse 23. Maybe one of your life verses, I don't know. But Psalm 37, 23. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, what would make a man a good man? Well, you say, well, preacher, is none good? No, not one. Amen. Not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But a man that acknowledges God in all of his ways, a woman that trusts in the Lord with all of her heart and leans not to her own understanding, God terms that a good person because he's the one directing their path. He's the one that's giving them the insight, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge to make wise decisions. And so the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That sounds like directing somebody's path, doesn't it? Walk right over here today, the Lord says. I need you to talk to this person. Now walk over here and don't even look that way. Just keep walking. Right? Isn't that a better way to do it? And he goes on to say, and he delighteth in his way. And there's been a whole lot of argument about who's delighting in whose way. And I think it's God delighting in the good man's way because he's ordered his steps. And it's also the good man delighting in the way that God's ordered his steps. So you can phrase it however you want to. But boy, what is it that Amos says? Can two walk together except they be? You reckon the Lord might direct our path to walk with Him? Might be like those guys on the road to Emmaus where Jesus comes and joins Himself to the conversation, begins to tell them everything about Jesus, about Himself from the Scriptures, beginning at Moses and the Psalms and everything that they had. And then they get to where those guys are going. They think the journey's over. And remember the Bible said Jesus made as if He would have gone further. But they constrained Him. I think the effort of this message tonight, the heart of this message tonight, is just be willing, church, just be willing to take a step back and acknowledge God. And here's what I've found in life. Not only can I justify decisions, but other people can justify them for me. And if all you do is listen to other people, you could make a bad decision. And they may not be giving you bad advice on purpose. They may not be trying to mislead you at all. But they don't know your heart like God knows your heart. And when God knows our heart, He knows what's best for us. And so absolutely, there's safety in a multitude of counselors. I'll never forget, Joel Logan told me this. I was talking to him before taking over here at Spring City, and just call him and spend time with him. Brother Joel, just talk, and I'm going to listen, brother. Just talk, and I'm going to listen. And I remember, I think we had a Bible conference here or something like that, and we ended up, some of the speakers had to stay in Abingdon because of our lodging situations here in this town. And I was taking Brother Joel back to his hotel room, and we were just talking, and we're going down John Douglas Wayside over there at 11:30 at night, whatever time it was we finally left the church. And he's just talking. And I told him, I said, I'm going to drive. I said, you talk. I'm just going to listen. And he got to that about there's safety in the multitude of counselors. And he got real quiet. And he said, Brother Nathan, he said, don't you ever forget. He said, there is safety in the multitude of counselors. He said, but your direction can only come from God. I've never forgot that. And it's good for pastoring. It's good for the home. It's good for your personal life. Get all the advice you want to get. But at the end of the day, because the only person we're going to give an account to is God, it'd be wise to acknowledge Him. Say, okay, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Judge of all the earth, what do you think? And more times than I can count on my hand, I've had support from everybody that I talk to. That'd be a great idea. I'd be fine. No problem with that. Then you get before God. And God says, It's kind of like David and Nathan. Remember that? He's finally established as the king in Israel, and he and Nathan sitting on the front porch drinking sweet tea. Southern tribes, you know. And David says, Nathan. He says, yeah, King. Yeah, something bothered me. What's bothering you, King? Man, the ark. He said, look, this beautiful house that I'm living in. And he said, the ark of God's just in a tent. And Nathan, sort of sensing what his friend was getting at, just goes ahead and gets to the point and says, well, just whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. I mean, it's got to be good, right? I mean, let's do it for God and the ark. I mean, until Nathan goes home that night and God says, no, we can't do that. Because see, God knew something that Nathan didn't know, and God had already made a decision about this, even though it was in David's heart, and God commended him. David, I'm glad that was in your heart. Thank you, son, for that being in your heart. But you're not going to build that house. You've shed too much blood. And God says, I'm going to bring this kingdom into a peaceful state. And boy, don't you know that got tested with Bathsheba and the fallout of all that. But I'm going to bring this kingdom into a peaceful state, and your son is going to build that house. So you prepare for it and get it ready. Thanks for it being in your heart, but you're not going to do it. And see, he had the preacher's blessing on it. Until the preacher had to go back and say, well, wait a minute. I finally talked to God about this thing, and we better do it a different way. Anyway. I hope this has helped somebody tonight. I don't know. Some of these things, sometimes you really wonder. But I trust God's in it, because I'm praying for it and I'm asking the Lord to direct it. And so I hope that helps you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes.